I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. It's not often one finds fiction centered on a heroine who is an academic with a passion for history and research, but Mary Malloy is not your typical fiction author. A maritime historian who teaches at both Sea Education Association in Woods Hole and Harvard University, Mary Malloy authored scholarly works on American maritime history and antiquities before trying her hand at fiction. Even though her Lizzie Manning mystery trilogy is set in present day, the books take the reader on a journey through historical periods, provide facts about historical figures, and shed light on the research process from the perspective of a historian. Mary Malloy joins us in our Woods Hole studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So as we mentioned, you're a maritime historian, educator. You also teach a course in museum science. So where did this idea of writing fiction come from?
It really began for me while I was working on my dissertation at Brown, which was on the voyages from Boston, especially out around Cape Horn and up to the North Pacific. And I read all of the material that was available, all the manuscript material. So logbooks and journals and business records. And there was a really intriguing story. And I've actually been here before to talk about Sam Hill, who was one of the characters I met along the way. But there is a problem sometimes in writing history in that there are things that you feel probably happened, but you can't actually support them with the documents. And so in the process of writing the dissertation, I began as a sort of antidote to that to write a fictional character who, unlike myself, always found everything that she needed because books would, sort of fall off the shelf and open to the right page, and there would be the thing that she was looking for. And so it really began as a sort of a fun process for me, and it was something that I turned to in strange times when the research was difficult, and it was a great sort of counterpoint to it. And I had no intention to publish this book when I was writing it, so it was. And she was very much, the character was really very much, myself, lightly disguised. When I came back to the book with more seriousness, one of the things to do is, of course, make the heroine into somebody else, her own person. But it was a great process for me. And in fact, I now have written four novels. One of them hasn't been published, but each of them has actually had a nonfiction counterpoint, which is an interesting part of the process for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. All right. So this trilogy, final book coming out soon, all three feature Lizzie Manning, maritime historian whose research leads her on adventures that blend history, fact-finding, and mystery. So tell us, you said Lizzie's based primarily on you, but at some point she became her own character. She left you, Mary.
Right. And actually, in some ways, she's had sort of my fantasy career because she gets involved in these wonderful adventures in, great houses. I mean, for me, one of the wonderful things about writing the first book in this series, The Wandering Heart, was that she goes to England. She's invited to work in this great house. And I got to build the house. And the house, in fact, became a character for me. It was a really sort of organic thing. And I read a lot about English architecture. And it's a house that's 1,000 years old, and has been built on over time, so that when she gets to go there and work, it's a kind of work that I don't actually do. But I love the idea of it. But also, there are characters around her, people that know me. I spoke once at a senior community where my mother-in-law lived, and the people there knew me and they knew my husband. And so one of the first questions was, which of the men in the book is my husband? And of course, he does not appear in the book. It's not like it is my life disguised. It's just that it was easier to write it from the background research perspective if Lizzie Manning was working on the same research that I was working on. And that's basically where it stopped. After that, her life is her own.
Well, as an author, when you're writing fiction and you have characters and that whole character development thing, sometimes you have a minor character who comes into the story and they won't go away and they become a major character. And I'm sure as you've gone along, Lizzie has, got a voice. She became maybe a character you weren't expecting.
Absolutely. And in fact, it's one of the strange things about writing fiction that, because much of this I write in the middle of the night. A lot of things I find that if you're thinking about them when you go to sleep, sometimes you wake up and you have sort of a clarity about things. And, if I go right then to the keyboard and I begin to write, I can capture things. But it is surprising that there are times when unexpected things happen that you're riding along and it's almost as if there's not that point where things go from your I don't know, your conscious brain. I've actually seen a hypnotherapist about this just to try to see how I can get myself into that zone, right. That writing zone where it just flows, you know, straight through your hands. And I'm a fast typist, so it all sort of pours out fairly quickly. But sometimes I find, you know, there's a knock at the door and some character comes in and they have a name and they have an agenda and I don't really know who they are at the time. And, you know, sometimes you have to go back and hit the delete button and get rid of them. But yes, interesting things happen in the process that I find very intriguing.
All right. So it seems like you're obviously having a lot of fun with this trilogy. So talk about the difference between writing fiction and nonfiction.
That is the most common question that I get whenever I talk about these books. And the difference is that I am tied to my sources when I'm writing nonfiction and that I cannot really speculate very far from where they take me. I'm working on a book right now on the history of museums, for instance, which in fact is very tied to my most recent novel, The Wonder Chamber. But I draw conclusions from things, which is different than speculating. So, I mean, basically the thing about fiction is you make stuff up. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be grounded in good historical research. But I don't really expect that people are going to, you know, substitute a history book for my book because I have taken things into a realm of, you know, in some ways, sort of ridiculousness. I mean, Lizzie gets herself into these situations that, you know, her life gets threatened by crazy people in almost right. every book. And, you know, I mean, I do not ever want to place myself in that position. So, you know, the ability to make things up is the great thing about fiction. But I do think that the fiction is very much informed by the historical research
right,
that I do.
Exactly. Yeah. And like with the fiction, you can, as you say, I can twist this fact a little to fit my story to make everything sort of neatly go together. And as you're saying in real life, that, you know, information may not come to you. You may, you know, you have to go strictly with what's in front of
right.
you.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I tell my students that, you know, a good research project, there is a point at which, you know, you start with a great idea about something, but oftentimes the material is just not there to support the idea that you have. And
right.
There's a point at which you really have to let the source material that's available guide the direction that you're going to go.
All right. So Wandering Heart is the first in the series. There were times when Lizzie found the path. I'm reading this from your book. She goes, there were times when Lizzie found the past very tangible, when a connection was formed between herself and some person long dead or some event long forgotten. Then a feeling was evoked, which could not be duplicated by any other kind of experience. It was for those moments that she had become a historian, and she felt very strongly that this was the beginning of a string of those moments. I could see you in going, okay, this is you here, right?
That actually, I feel that very strongly. I mean, there are times, I will tell you, in fact, I once had just a small job working at the Kendall Whaling Museum in Sharon, Massachusetts, which has since merged with the New Bedford Whaling Museum, but I was cataloging the documents, loose documents, and it was a folder of letters from a young man on a whaling voyage and writing back to his mother. And he was a really engaging guy. And he was talking about being on the coast of Chile and Talcahuano and riding horses, and other men were going off to brothels, but, you know, he was, you know, keeping the righteous path. And he was funny and he was clever. And I got to the last page as I had been turning them over, and the last page was edged in black, and it was in a different handwriting. And it was a shipmate of his writing to the mother to tell her that her son had been killed in the shipboard accident.
Oh.
And if I only had to think about it for a minute when I started to know that the guy was long dead, but there was such immediacy in it that I sat there crying in the manuscript vault at the museum over the death of this guy that I really felt like I had come to know him through his letters. And, it was a really tangible moment
exactly. for me. Well, so, all right, Wandering Heart, Lizzie digs through shipboard logbooks. She studies, you know, artifacts. She reads a journal from Captain Cook's ill-fated journey to the Pacific Northwest, and she puts together clues to solve a mystery. These are materials and topics you're familiar with from your own research. So after reading the first book, you begin to think, how much of Mary Malloy can we find in Lizzie Manning? So in the first book, we do see a lot of, because this was the beginning, so that we see a lot of you. But by the time we get to the Wonder Chamber, she's become a different person, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yes, she has really. I mean, You know, I think there is also there is always in fiction writing some element of oneself that you put into a book. But really, you know, I mean, she clearly started out as a sort of alter ego for me, but she is not anymore.
Yeah. No. So are there any other characters that are based on real people?
Well, actually, there is one. The second book is based on a walk across England that I did 16 years ago. And I had a sabbatical from my job at the Sea Education Association. And I wanted to do something that was somewhat physically challenging. And so I decided to I wanted to do a long walk and I wanted it to have a historical context. So I decided to retrace a pilgrimage that might have been made by the Wife of Bath character from Canterbury Tales and walk from Bath, England to Canterbury. And I took 30 days to do it. And one of my colleagues at Sea Education Association, Captain Peg Brandon, told me that she would like to come with me for some portion of that walk. And so I walked for the first 10 days by myself, and then Peg walked with me for 10 days. And then the last 10 days, I was by myself again. And so I wrote that up as a nonfiction sort of travelogue that was, you know, part of, you know, exploring literature and literature in the landscape and sort of historical stuff in the landscape, which surprisingly to me, people in England actually do not do the pilgrimage that the Canterbury pilgrims did. In fact, you go to Southwark on the south bank of the Thames, you know, metropolitan London, where the book starts, and nobody has any idea about any of the places that were touched by them. So anyway, my agent suggested to me that I turn that book into the second in the series. And so I told Peg Brandon that I was going to fictionalize her and that she would be Lizzie's friend. And it was funny because Peg said that she wanted, she loved the name Kate. We were looking for a name for her. And Brandon is the name of one of the heroes in a Jane Austen novel. And I also was visiting sort of Jane Austen sites along the way. So we were looking at the Jane Austen books and I gave her, you know, several options. And Frederick Wentworth was a sea captain in the novel Persuasion. So we came up with Kate Wentworth as the, the, you know, name for Peg That's Brandon fun. As a fictionalized character.
That's fun. All right. So in your fiction, information is obscured intentionally by some of the historical characters. Do you come across this frequently in your own research, or did you use this as a means to advance the story and provide some mystery?
No, actually, I have come across that. And in fact, last time I was here on your show, we were talking about Sam Hill, who was a really, you know, loony and violent sea captain. And he absolutely obscured his own history and rewrote it. And I think did try to make people think differently about him. And a number of historians who wrote about him early on, back in the 1920s and 30s, read his logbooks as if that was
real.
Just the truth.
Yeah. So really, it is. You're like a detective.
It is.
Yeah.
I actually did not make up the notion that historians are detectives, but I believe it.
Yeah. Because you start seeing, you know, what he's written, and you start looking at other things, and you go, wait a second, you know, something's funny here. So you really have to kind of find all the evidence you can to see who's telling the truth and who's not.
Well, you know, that's the thing about history, where I said earlier that, you know, you have to stick to your sources. The problem with that, of course, is that sometimes the sources are wrong, and that more sources will make a picture clearer. And that is the reason, actually, why history has to be reinterpreted constantly. We ask different questions of the source material and we get different answers. But also, more information becomes available. And then, I mean, thank God, otherwise historians would be out of business. You could write the book once and you'd never have to look at it again.
So what are some of the ethical issues associated with privacy in historians? If someone in the past has made efforts to keep a bit of information a secret or hide an artifact, do you have an ethical dilemma about exposing that information?
I think it partly is the reason, I guess, why someone might keep something a secret. And I'm thinking actually now of cultural artifacts that there's a really interesting news article that just came out a couple of days ago where Hopi Indian artifacts that were going up for auction in Paris, that the Hopi wanted those things returned to them, that many of them were things which they thought should never be exhibited, things that actually should be kept secret. And the Annenberg Foundation bought them all without the knowledge of the auction house to return them to the Hopi. And that was a sort of wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But there are artifacts, in fact, which I think the descendant community ought to be able to say that these are things which cannot be seen by uninitiated people. And so I think there are some things which it's very legitimate for people to keep a secret. In The Wandering Heart, I actually had a bit of a dilemma where Lizzie takes these, various documents, which in fact had caused a sort of madness among this group of girls in this family. And they decide to, not to destroy them. She can't quite light the match to destroy them, but to, seal them up in a wall behind a tombstone. And, people know that they're there, but it would take some effort to get them out again.
Yeah, she knows. Destroying them as a historian, you can't destroy anything.
Right.
Exactly. So there are many corpses in your books. Graves are dug up, body parts are examined, and remains are moved. Do you think human remains had more significance historically than they do now?
No, I think we are a macabre species, and we love that stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
No, in fact, if anything, I think the ability to look at grisly stuff is more accessible to us on the internet, and I think that people are interested in that. Yeah. But, I am interested in relics. I mean, that comes up in all these books. The idea that the Catholic Church would actually take these bodies of saints and, break them up into pieces and put them into these jeweled boxes and send them around the world. There is that notion that something has a power to make, to cause miracles. That's one of the things I love about objects, is that we imbue them with importance and power. Through imagination, through faith, but body parts. Well, that is really a powerful thing.
We are talking with Mary Malloy, maritime historian and author. We're talking about her Lizzie Manning mystery, the trilogy of books, and we'll talk more after a quick break.